You're 20 minutes early, Clark.
I know. It's stifling below. I couldn't sleep.
Like the boy aft.
Oh, he can't sleep because he's lonely. We better get off this station soon. Is that thunder or the reef?
The reef. But there's lightning off to the east and the wind's picking up. We're in for a storm. A bad one, I'm afraid.
Well, when you finish your pipe, why don't you turn in? I'll take over the watch.
What was that? I thought I heard...
The CBS Radio Workshop, dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind. Today, Lightship, based on the novel by Archie Binns and adapted for radio by Draper Lewis. Before the perfection of the radio beacon, the lightships, which guard our many miles of coastline, were equipped with an underwater bell, which worked simultaneously with the foghorn during bad weather to warn passing ships of the dangerous reefs and serve as a navigational aid. When visibility was good, two oil beacons, fore and aft, identified her position. It is aboard one of these early ships that our story takes place, when a seaman's length of service depended not only upon his efficiency, but his ability to survive the corrosive monotony of the long, uninterrupted months of duty aboard the tiny steel island of a lightship.
Well, who was the last one to see him? Before Ben saw him.
Well, he was sitting on his bunk when I went up to relieve the 4 o'clock watch. He didn't say anything to me. He was just sitting there, talking to himself. I put some coal on the stove in the galley, had a cup of coffee, and then went out on deck.
Well, I was going to say something when he passed me, but I don't know what to say. He has such a funny look on his face, in his eyes. Wide open, staring. Like someone under a spell. Or like a dead man.
Barometer's dropping fast, Mr. Hansen. I want a man put forward to keep a constant check on the snubbing gear. If we ever broke loose from our mooring, this wind would push us right on top of the reef. Ship's company all present?
There's a fireman on duty in the engine room and a man on the bridge. Two below sleeping, Captain. Mr. Gill, will you take the forward watch?
I've had no sleep all night long. And besides, Clark was supposed to be out watching.
Get off my back, will you? You're worse than an old woman, always belly aching, complaining you're doing more work than anybody else aboard.
Clark, shut up. Mr. Gill, you heard my order?
Yes, I heard you.
Coffee, Captain?
Thank you, Clark. At approximately 3:42 a.m., we lost a man overboard. I want to know why. I want to know why, and I want to know how.
Well, he jumped, sir. I wasn't more than 10, 12 feet from him. Nobody touched him. He just jumped all by himself.
I heard the boy cry out, but by the time I got there, Clark and Mr. Hansen had already tossed over a line, and he was gone. He left these shoes by the companionway. They were his Sunday best. I guess he didn't want to get them wet.
Well, he was crazy. All he talked about was what he was going to do when he got ashore. Everyone knew he was crazy, sir.
Obviously, you know a great deal more about this than I do, Ben. Now, suppose you start at the beginning.
Well, there's no place to begin, sir. It's just part of everything else that's happened on this trip. You know, about the oil for the beacons and how everyone else has been getting on everyone else's nerves.
I want to hear the whole story, Ben.
If I'd known it was going to be like this, I never would have signed on in the first place. I thought we just came up to this station for 5 or 6 months and did our job and then went back to Seattle. Nobody told me we'd be stuck like this for almost 9 months now.
Now, it's not always this way, Ben, my lad. I told you that.
Sure, you told me. And a lot I could have done about it. You told me when the relief was already a month late. And to make it worse, a fog came in. I don't care what you say. We've been stuck out here way too long now. If it weren't for my concertina...
Well, you're young, Ben. You'll learn. This is your first hitch, isn't it?
Aboard a lightship, yes. It's going to be my last, too.
It's not always as rough as this, Ben. Look at me. I've been doing lightship service half my life. 20 years aboard this selfsame ship, and I enjoy it. This is an important station. That reef is only a mile and a half to the starboard, and in rough weather or in a fog, a lot of ships would break up on it without our lights and our whistle and bell. You know, we're not out here just to admire the scenery, Ben.
I still want to get back to Seattle.
Hand me that wrench by your side, will you?
A catch.
Thanks. There. Now we'll just give her a dash of white lead, and that should do it.
Chief!
I'm here.
Fog's coming in. The mate says to start the bell.
I was afraid it was getting too quiet around here. Start it up for me, will you, Ben?
Sure. How far away can a ship hear our signal, Chief?
Oh, it can be picked up as far away as 14 miles under perfect weather conditions. Now, those submarine telephones are pretty sensitive instruments.
Start the whistle, Chief.
Yes, I was waiting for that.
When I'm asleep and that thing goes off, I go straight up in the air every time.
I don't even hear it anymore. Of course, it can get a mite on your nerves if you're fogged in for a week or so.
A week or so? Oh, you're kidding, I hope. Oh, it's a terrible sound the way it goes right through you. This fog couldn't last a week. Could it, Chief?
Come in or go out, but shut that door. We heard enough of that fog on for the last 9 days without having it right here in the room with us?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Gill. I didn't think it was going to blow right then.
Harry, see what you can do about those eggs of mine, will you? And my compliments to the cook on his coffee. It's even worse than usual.
Oh, it's only yesterday's grounds, Mr. Clark. We're conserving, you know. I had to dump what was left of the meat and flour overboard yesterday.
You did what?
What did you do with the meat and flour, Harry?
I had to do it. The meat was bad, and the flour was all gray and smelled terrible. The cook knew, but he didn't care. He would have gone right ahead and used them, but I threw them overboard.
You threw them overboard? And how did you know that some of that stuff wasn't good, you little idiot? At sea, you eat as long as there's anything to eat, whatever it smells
like. Clark, he was only trying to keep us all from getting sick on bad food.
I'm sorry, Harry. Get the eggs. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't like losing my temper. I usually don't. The relief better get here soon. Real soon.
Harry, I want to talk to you.
Boy, I never knew that fella Clark had such a temper. He could hurt you bad if he ever hit you. He's built... really built.
Harry, you talked about the meat and flour. You promised me you wouldn't.
Now why don't you go below and get some rest, huh? I'll finish up here, Cook.
You don't like me, do you, Harry? You want the captain to lock me up in the hold, don't you? That's why you talked about the meat and flour when you promised me you wouldn't. When are we going back to Seattle, Harry? Are we going soon?
I don't know when we're going back, but running low on food's never going to make the captain leave this station. As long as we got coal to make those engines run and blow the whistle and ring the bell, as long as there's oil for the beacon lamps here, we stay until the relief comes to take our place. And who knows when that's going to happen.
Somebody's got to tell them, Harry. Somebody's got to do something. You and I can do something, can't we, Harry?
Cook, Here. I have a movie magazine for you. You can have it if you go below and get some sleep.
I don't want to sleep. I can't sleep. I just lie there and listen to the foghorn. Is it a new magazine? Why didn't you give it to me before? I suppose it's been here for months and you didn't bother giving it to me when you know it would give me a few minutes of happiness.
Cook, you want it or not? If you don't, I'm going to give it to Mr. Gill. He likes to read.
No, please. Don't let him have it. You wouldn't take it away from me, would you? You know how I suffer with nowhere to go and nothing to do. Give it to me. And then, Harry, maybe I can read myself to sleep.
Chief, could we make it back to port with the coal we have?
Well, that'll be a coal tender with the relief whenever she gets here.
You didn't answer my question.
Maybe yes, maybe not.
Barring unforeseen difficulties, we could possibly make port.
Possibly. But as you say, Captain, barring unforeseen difficulties.
Harry says the cook just lies in his bunk like a dead man, doesn't move. He just lies there.
He'll be all right as soon as he gets ashore.
I've never seen a dead man. Up close, I mean.
Death is nothing to be afraid of, boy.
Oh, but death at sea is a lonesome thing. It's terrible. Listen, out there in the fog, to starboard.
That must be the relief. The relief has finally made it.
Have you ever seen anything prettier in your life than that sunshine this morning when the fog finally rolled out to sea? And isn't that relief the most beautiful sight you ever saw, Captain? Isn't she a sight to behold now?
She's obviously lost her tender. Still think we can make it on the coal we've got?
We'll make it if I have to feed that coal in a lump at a time with my bare hands.
Here's your megaphone, Captain. They must be going to toss some ale over. There's a man on the aft deck.
Hey, Clark! Look at that cook. He's all dressed up in a blue suit. He must think we're in Seattle already.
He's coming in close on this run, Clark. Catch the line that sailor's throwing.
Watch out for the weight, man. Kiss me. Got it.
I hear you, Kennedy.
You'll have to hold on.
What?
You'll have to hold on. We're going to Swift Shore Station. We'll be back as soon as possible.
Captain Kennedy, you must relieve us now.
Swift Shore is in trouble. We can't do it any longer. You have to hold on.
Kennedy, come around again. We're almost out of coal. We need some food. Kennedy, come back. Kennedy!
According to this report, the Swift Shore went adrift in a gale. Pulled her snubbing gear clean through her nose and went aground. I hope that storm doesn't hit us. I'd hate to think of piling up on that reef.
I had to lock the cook in a stateroom. It took three of us to get him below. How long do you think it will be before the relief gets back to us?
I only wish I knew. But until she does, we have a job to do, and we're going to do it.
I talked to the cook for a long time, and he was quiet then, so I asked the captain if it was all right to let him come up to the galley.
How is he now?
Well, he's better. I wish I could do something for him. It's terrible watching him day after day, knowing you can't reach him. Knowing what he's going through, it's terrible.
He's going out of his mind from loneliness and watching the sea.
If he could just get ashore for a day or so, you know, even a few hours. Mr. Hansen, you smell oil?
One of the boys in the engine room must have spilled some on the deck.
No, it's down there. Look, underwater. It's coming out of the ship and spreading over the water.
It's not coming out of the ship. It's being pumped out. Chief O'Rourke! Chief O'Rourke!
Ben, what are you doing down here without oil? I told you just to fill the cups.
Well, I haven't touched the engines in over an hour. You still what you told me to
are
do?
You're lying, you little sneak. For 2 cents, I'd drag you up to the captain right now and tell him what you've done. Don't you know we need every drop of oil we have?
Will you listen to me when I tell you I haven't touched the oil? Look at the drums yourself if you're so smart. Go on, Mr. Smarty O'Rourke. You think you know it?
Don't you ever use that kind of language with me, Mr. I'd break you in two with my bare hands. Oh, we've taken a lot from you on this trip, but I've not taken any more. And especially not any of your smart talk. Now get out of this engine room and don't show your face down here again.
O'Rourke, up here. It's the lamp oil. Somebody cut the lashing and emptied it in the scuppers.
I'm sorry this happened. I don't suspect anybody. But if one of you know about this, I expect him to tell me. Where's the cook? I want everybody here.
He's here, sir. I told him you wanted to see him.
I've been in my cabin. You should put me ashore because I've been sick, very sick.
If anyone jettisoned that oil thinking it would get us in from the station any sooner, he showed poor sense. Whatever happens, we're here till Swiftsure is repaired and the relief comes back. Now, we've been on station a long time through no one's fault. I don't want to punish anyone. But our first consideration is to give light to other ships. And we must be careful of the little oil we have left. Until we are relieved, there are to be no more lights in the cabins. That's all I have to say.
That's the way it was, Captain Lindstrom. If some of the lights in the cabins had been on, it wouldn't have been so dark back there in the stern, sir, but nobody went anywhere near him. I guess maybe he just made up his mind he couldn't stand it any longer and went ashore.
Yes, I guess that's just what he did, Ben. Now, Chief, you can put those shoes in the forward locker.
I can. Hey, Clark. Smell the soles of these shoes. Feel them.
It's oil. They're soaked in oil.
And the cook's never set foot inside my engine room. There's only one way he could have been walking in oil.
When he emptied the drum of lamp oil.
That's exactly what I mean, sir.
You'd better come forward, sir. The wind's increasing, and I think the moorings beginning to slip.
Stand back. She's bucking hard again.
Takes much more punishment like that, sir. She'll pull through the snubbing gear just like the Swiftsure.
There's no way we can get a bearing now to know if she's dragging either. Better tell the chief to start the engines and run them at half speed. That'll take some of the strain off the mooring chains and help keep us on station.
Right, sir.
Spread it out easy, boy. Like that. Spread it out over the fire. Can't be wasting 20 coal now, or we'll end up sure on that reef.
But if she breaks loose, we won't have enough coal to get back to port now. What are we going to do if she breaks loose?
We'll worry about that when it happens, boy. Now, don't stand there like a tourist. Get up to the captain and find out what's going on. I'll tell him the second bunker is empty. We have one more to go.
Water fast, sir. Both pumps going, but she's filling up like a bathtub from those seas breaking in over the port rail.
Well, we can't head her into the seas. It'll take too much coal. Wind's shifting a little. If it gets astern of us in time, we'll be all right.
She's broken loose, sir. We're adrift. She's broken loose.
Mr. Clark, signal the chief. Full speed ahead.
Spread it out like butter on a piece of bread.
We're going on the reef, aren't we, Chief?
No, we're not going on the reef, not as long as there's a pound of steam left on those boilers. We'll get out of this storm. You wait and see. This old girl's been in too many scrapes to end up breaking her back on a reef now.
They can't do it in this wind, Mr. Hansen. They'll both be washed overboard.
If anyone can do it, Clark can, sir. He's the strongest man aboard. And Mr. Gill's out there to show him how to make it fast.
If the wind shifts back to starboard, it'll carry us right on the reef in spite of our engines.
That's the chance we have to take, sir. The wind's in our stern now. If she only stayed there for an hour or so, we'd be out of this and away from the reef. We've got to take the chance, sir.
Well, we have no other choice. We must leave our station and head for home. Tell him to go ahead, Mr. Hansen. It's the craziest idea I ever heard of in all my years at sea, but it just might work.
Can you make a fast up there, Clark? Take another turn around the mast. We don't want her to split right down the middle.
I think she's going to hold now. Stand clear. I'm coming down.
Captain Lindstrom. Did I hear the boy band rightly? Did he say we were going to sail this light ship?
Mr. Gill says it can be done, Chief. No one knows exactly how she'll behave, but we're going to try. Clark and Mr. Gill are bending on the sails now. We'll soon know how she takes to it.
And what am I supposed to be doing with my engines down there, sitting and twiddling my thumbs? What about the call we have left?
We'll need the engines, too, to get out of this and home to Seattle, Chief. Now, you just make sure you don't let us down.
Just you keep her stack out of the sea, and you'll have no worries from below, sir.
The tide will be changing in another half hour, Mr. Gill. We could be on our way home then.
Yes, sir. We will be.
Anything else, Chief?
I know, sir. I'll be getting below again. I just wanted to say...
Yes, Chief?
Well, if we do pull out of this and make port... Just don't go saying it was your lousy half-baked sails that did it.
Hey, Clark. I'll stand you to the first round of beers when we hit Seattle tonight.
You have been listening to the CBS Radio Workshop and Lightship by Draper Lewis, based on a novel by Archie Binns. Music composed and conducted by Alexander Semler and directed by Dick Teeler. Included in the cast were Louis Van Ruten, Ian Martin, Joe Helgeson, Herman Dinkin, Wayne Nelson, Daniel Ocko, Walter Black, Ralph Bell, and Santos Ortega. This is Warren Sweeney speaking. The CBS Radio Workshop is produced in New York by Paul Roberts. This is the CBS Radio Network.